Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we encountered the opinion of Rabbi Yonason ben Shaul, which said that in the event that someone is pursuing a victim with the intent of killing him, and the victim or someone else has the ability to stop this impending murder from taking place by knocking out one of the limbs of the pursuer, and they don't do that, but they rather kill the pursuer, he who kills the pursuer under such circumstances is himself subject to a death penalty. The Gemara opens at the upper part of Daf Ayin Dalid Omid Aleph, 6 lines from the top, asking a question. From where do we know this? The source for this opinion of Rabbi Yonason ben Shaul. My taimo de Rabbi Yonason ben Shaul. What's the reason behind his opinion? The Gemara proceeds to give an answer. Notice that this is a long answer. We have a length marker for this. The tuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashi with a dashed vertical line indicates the length of this teretz. The tuf for teretz. In addition, we have a keep track, a play-by-play indicator, the volcano form that you see in the Gemara, and this is also explained by the Mivne heading in the outside margin. It's called Ma'akav, the attempt to keep track. With the flat, with the narrow part facing upwards, this represents an answer. With it flipped over, and you'll notice one of these on the second wide line of the Gemara, that will be an attempt to raise a question. But that attempt itself will be deflected by a rejection or an answer, if you will, which itself is another long marking. We've called it a dechia, a rejection or a rejection of the suggestion that was in the inverted form. So we now turn to the answer. How do we know what is the basis of Rabbi Yonason ben Shaul's opinion? Dichtiv. The Torah features a story in Shmos Chof Aleph, Posuk Chof Beis, and Posuk Chof Bimel, features a story where a man is fighting with his friend, their physical altercation, and there is a pregnant woman standing by, and instead of his left hook going into his friend's jaw, it hits the woman in her abdominal area and causes her to miscarry the child. With the miscarriage taking place, a financial penalty is incurred. In other words, there is compensation that is that it must be made to the father of that child that was otherwise going to be born. And we're raising this issue of, is it really so that a compensation is to be made? So we have to ask other questions. What was the nature of the altercation? Was it a fight to the death? Now, if it was a fight to the death, we have another principle that says that where a person is subject to being killed, well, legally that is. So in the case of a fight to the death, if some onlooker sees the fellow about to issue a left hook to someone's jaw and kill him, an onlooker would have the right to kill the pursuer. That's what we saw in Rabbi Yonason ben Shaul's teaching of Roidev Shoya Roidev Acher Chavero, someone who's pursuing someone else. If that be the case, that it was a fight to the death, and the pursuer could have himself been stopped by being killed, then there would be no need to make a financial payment. As we've said on a previous occasion, that when someone is subjected to the severe penalty of death, whether it be by the hands of the court or by legal license, by virtue of the fact that a bystander also has license to kill, then there is no imposition of the lesser of penalty, namely the financial compensation. But if the pasuk features financial compensation, then it's an indication that there was no real right to kill the pursuer. With all that background in mind, let us now proceed to the Gemara itself. And before we actually do the Gemara itself, let us read the psukim that are germane to this discussion. They have been included in our marked edition on the side, Shmois Chof Aleph, Posuk Chof Beis, V'chi Inotsu Anoshim, when two men are fighting, V'nogfu Isha Hora, and a pregnant woman was hit, V'yotsu Yilodeh, and she miscarries, V'lo Ye Osoin, and if there is no Osoin, if there is no death, Onosh Ye Onesh, a financial payment is imposed, Kasher Yoshisolov Baal Ho'isha, V'nosan Bifluim, as is evaluated and paid in a court. V'im Osoin Yeh, if there is death, V'nosato Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, then the murderer shall be put to death himself. Now we go to the Gemara. The answer to what is the basis of Rav Yonasan ben Shaul's halacha is found in the following: Dichti v'chi natsu anashim. The Omer of Elazar, b'matzus shebemisa kosef medaber. The fight featured in the pasuk is a fight to the death, namely that one of them intended to kill the other. Dichti, the pasuk itself indicates this. V'im ason yeh. This was found in pasuk chof gimel. If a death happens, v'nosata nefesh tachas nefesh, the murderer shall himself be put to death. V'afilu hachi omrachmona, and even though it was a fight to the death, the Torah says, v'lo ye osono noshianesh, if no death ensues, then financial payment is made. E'amas bishlamo, if you accept what Rav Yonasan ben Shaul said, that yochol lahatzil be'echod me'evorov lo nitan lahatzilu benafsho, that in the event there's a fight to the death, but there is an option or a possibility of preventing the pursuer by knocking out one of his limbs, and if that be the case, then it is not allowed to kill, one is not allowed to kill the pursuer, because there is the option of knocking out a limb and stopping him that way. Hainu de mishkachas lo die onesh. I can therefore understand that there is room for a financial payment. Kegoin shiyoch lahatzil be'echad meivarov, as would be in the case where one of the limbs could be knocked out and stop him. Therefore, we say that at the time he's trying to kill the other fellow, he's not considered mischayev benafsho. He's not really in, the pursuer is not in life jeopardy, because no one has a right to kill him, because there is the option of stopping him by knocking out one of his limbs. Elo I amris yochol lahatzil be'echod meivorov, nami nitan lahatzil benafsho, if one were to say contrary to Rav Yonasan ben Shaul, and that being that if there is the option of stopping him by knocking out one of the limbs, but even so, one is allowed to kill him, then hechi mishkachas lo dionesh, then where is there room to talk about a financial payment? And yet this pasuk talks about the financial payment being made. The financial payment, of course, being made for the woman who was caused to miscarry. The Gemara says that from this, the Gemara attempts to reject this answer by saying that the reason that there is financial payment made over here is not an indication that the pursuer was not to be killed. It could be that the pursuer, even though it's Yochol Hatzil Bechad Mevorov, the pursuer could have been killed. But the reason that there is financial payment is because the financial payment is being made as a result of an outside party, namely the pregnant woman, and not because of the fellow that was being hit. Dilma Shaini Hocha. Demisa Loze Vitashlumen Loze. The case here may be different because the Misa, the possible life-threatening situation as far as the pursuer was concerned is because he was trying to hit his fellow man. And the tashlumin, the financial payment, is being issued because of the pregnant woman, not the person himself. The Gemara says this distinction has no basis. Loi shno. Notice this is a rejection of the question that was just raised. And we are saying one should not say that there is a chiyuv mamon simply because the payment would be made to the outsider, namely the woman and her husband. The Omar Rava. Rava will be the basis of this rejection. Roidev. Before we go further, we have some markings that we want to take note of. We have the use of a double underline, and we also have a topic heading that accompanies this section of Gemara, the Nosei. Gam b'mikre shel miso lozeh v'tashlum lozeh. It is to be said that even in a case where the death penalty or the loss of one's life is a result of hitting A, and the tashlumen, the money to be paid, is to be paid to B, nevertheless, there is still exemption from the financial payment, poter min atashlumin. The mivneh note we have, the structural note, features the double underline. Three, gimel mikrim, three cases, shel roidef, ushviras kelim, where involving the general case of a pursuer and the breaking of vessels, toch kedei hamirdaf, the breaking of the vessels in the course of the hot pursuit, mosai yesh chiyuv tashlumin ala kelim shen nishbru. When is there a possibility of payment being made for the vessels that were broken? So we'll now go through several cases, but we'll also note before we go on in the Gemara that there a brackets will appear very shortly. The reason for the bracketed section is not for the purpose of skipping, but rather it's to demonstrate that the main answer appeared initially, immediately, under example number one. The rest of the bracketed section, in other words, the bracketed section itself simply contains the complete statement of Rava. But as far as this Gemara is concerned, we only need the first of the three different cases that Rava features. So as we go on in the Gemara, D'omar Rava, Roidev Shoya Roidev Acher Chavero, someone was in hot pursuit of his friend with the intent of killing him, v'shiber es hakelim, and broke vessels in the course of the pursuit. Bein shel nirdaf, bein shel kol odom, potter. Whether the vessels are owned by the victim, or the vessels that were broken are those belonging to other people. Potter, the pursuer is exempt from paying for those vessels. This is a case, and we've dashed underline shel kol adam to indicate that this is the focus of our attention. This is a case where which we call misa lazeh umamon lazeh, which means the reason for the pursuer to be subject himself to be killed by onlookers is because he is pursuing Mr. A. He's pursuing a particular man, a particular victim. The vessels are owned by B. The vessels are owned by other people. And even so, even though the money would have been paid to someone other than the victim, nevertheless, there is an exemption for payment. Potter. And the Gemara points out, my time, why is there exemption for paying for these vessels, even though they may belong to other people? Because mischayev benafshohu, this pursuer is currently being subject to death himself. Rashi says, "Mischayev benafshohu beredifazu." In this pursuit, sharei nitan lahatzil benafsho, he is subject to being killed by onlookers. V'afalgav the kelim halolu shel shar kol odom hein. Even though the vessels belong to others, the misalozeh v'tashlumin ozeh poter. As we said before, that even though it's a misa as a result of pursuing one person and the tashlumin would be made to some outsider, nevertheless, there is an exemption for making that payment. That is the basic response to point out that misa lezeh v'tashlumin lezeh is not grounds for financial payment being made, but rather there is exemption in that case as well. Other cases of pursuit and breaking of vessels follow. The nirdaf sheshiber esakelim, the victim who is trying to escape, that in his escape he breaks vessels. It depends. Shel roidef, if he breaks the vessels of the pursuer himself, potter, there is no payment to be made. Shel kol odom, if he breaks outsiders' vessels, other people's vessels, in his attempt to escape, chayov, he has to compensate those people. Now we have an explanation of these two points. Shel roidef, potter, the one that we have here corresponds to the one that was encircled just before. That if we're talking about the vessels of the rodef, we say the victim is exempt from paying. Potter. Shaloyhe momoinoi chovivolov migufo. We don't want to have a situation where a person's possessions are considered more valuable than the person himself. And being that the person himself is subject to being killed, in other words, his life has no value, namely the pursuer's life has no value, his possessions cannot have any more value than that. However, shel kol odom chayov, if the victim in the course of his escape breaks other people's vessels, then chayov, he has to pay for that, because this is called shematzil atzmo b'mamon chaver, he's saving himself at the expense of other people's possessions, and he can't get away with that for free, therefore he has to pay. V'roidev shoya roidev acha roidev v'hatziloi. The third case involves the onlooker, a third party, who is pursuing the attacker in order to stop the attacker. And in his pursuit of the attacker, he breaks v'shiber esakelim, he breaks vessels. The Gemara goes on to say, bein shel roidev, bein shel nirdaf, bein shel kol odom, whether it be the vessels of the attacker, or the vessels of the victim, or other people's vessels. Under all circumstances, potter, the onlooker, or in this case, the good fellow who's trying to prevent the murder from taking place, he is exempt for any of these breakings. Velo min hadin, not because of the letter of the law, but rather we say that he is exempt from paying shim I ata omer kein, if you don't afford this exemption, nimtza ein lecha kol odom shematzil es chaviru miyat harodef, then no one will want to save victims from their pursuers. People say, well, why should I get involved? If I end up breaking something, I'll have to pay. Better for me simply to not get involved. So the halacha comes along and preempts that by saying, listen, try to save the victim, and if you incur any damages in the course of your pursuit, don't worry, you won't have to pay. Avol haroidef achar behema. The Mishnah said that if one is seen pursuing a behema for the purpose of bestiality, he is not to be stopped by being through killing him. Tanya, before we go on in the Gemara, let's take a note of the topic heading we have for this piece of Gemara, the Nosei. Shnei Deyois Tanoim, we'll see two Tanaic opinions, Deloi Kemishno Senu, that are unlike our Mishnah. De Nitan Lhatsilo Benafsho, number one, Ho'ivet Avodah Zorah, and number two, Hamachalel Es HaShabbos. By the way, the two opinions that we're going to see here were part of a discussion that we saw on the previous Omid on Ayin Gimel Omid Beis. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Ha'ivet Avodah Zorah, Nitan Lhatsilo Benafsho, someone who is about to commit idolatry, it is possible, it is allowed to stop him by killing him, mi kal vachomer, through kal vachomer logic, Uma Pagam Hetyo Nitan Lhatsilo Benafsho, mind you, if it comes to the disparagement of a human being, it is possible to stop the pursuer by killing him, Pagam Gavoa Lo Kol Shekein, the disparagement of the Almighty, all the more so. The Gemara asks, V'chi Oinshin Min Hadin, is it possible to come to conclusions regarding punishments through kal vachomer logic? The Gemara answers, Kosovar, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is of the opinion, Oinshin Min Hadin, that one is allowed to come to conclusions regarding punishments through kal vachomer logic. Tanya, Rabbi Loza Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, says, Omer HaMachalel Es HaShabbos Nitan Lahatzilo Benafsho, that one who is about to commit a Shabbos violation, it is mutter, it is permitted to stop him by killing him. Sovar lo keavua diomar oinshin menadin. The first point is that Reb Elozer Reb Shimon holds like his father with regard to idolatry, that one can come to conclusions regarding punishment through Kal Vachomer logic, and as a result of that, the Oyved Avodah Zorah will be is Nitan Latzila Benafsho. The Asya, once I've established that Avodah Zorah is Nitan Latzila Benafsho, the Asya Shabbos Bechilu Chilu Me'avodis Kechavim, and I will derive the same halacha regarding Shabbos through a word comparison from the topic of Avodah Zorah, from the topic of idol worship. In the case of Shabbos, it says, Mechaleleho Mois Yumos, and in the case of idol worship, the Pasuk says, Mizara Holo Titein Lavila Molech Velo Sechaleil. So you have the word Chilul in both contexts. In our marking system, you notice now a slash mark. That indicates that the following Gemara is of an unrelated nature to that which preceded it. In other words, we have a completely new topic. The Nosei Mivneh heading that we see featured on the side is called Yehoreg V'al Ya'avor, cases whereby a person must sacrifice his own life and not violate a particular offense. This includes several examples. One, Avodah Zorah, idolatry. Two, Gilui Aroyos, forbidden relations. Immoral relations, and three, shvichus domim, murder. We will see in the course of the Gemara the use of different geometric forms. We will notice a triangle with a colored in tip that is around Rabbi Yochanan's name, and we've explained here Miyuad Lechaber Bein HaMeimer Asher Rabbi Yochanan. It's designed to create a connection between the different comments made by Rabbi Yochanan in the course of the sugya. We'll also find a bow tie featured, and those bow ties highlight the three different examples of Yehoreg V'al Ya'avor. In addition to that, we've emphasized these in the margin, making it easier to find at what point in the Gemara these different offenses will be the subject of discussion. The first being Avodah Zorah. You'll notice to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, the expressions Avodah Zorah abbreviated, and Arayas and Shvichus Domim that follow in a bow tie form. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadok, Nimnu v'gomru be'alias beis natzo belud. There was a vote and a conclusion reached in the aliyah, the attic or the upper story of Beit Natza, the house of Natza in Lud. Kol aver shebetorah im oimrim la'adam, regarding all offenses of the Torah. If one is told avor ve'al tehareg, violate the mitzvah and thereby not be killed. In other words, violate the mitzvah and stay alive. We will tell him, Yavor, go ahead and violate Ve'al Yehoreg, and don't get killed. In other words, save your life. Chutz me'avodis kechavim v'gilai arayos u'shvichus domim, with the exception of these three major offenses, where one is threatened by committing idolatry, or adulterous relations, or murder. And under any of those circumstances, if threatened, either be killed or violate these, a person is expected to say, I'm not going to violate these things, and let himself be killed. The Gemara asks, V'avodis kechovim lo, and are you telling me that when it comes to idolatry, one is not allowed to violate it, and one must give up his life? Hotanya, we have the following source. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's take note of some of our additional markings. We see here a little bays featured in a diamond. This will be contrasted with the aleph that was in a diamond three lines above. This represents another opinion on this same topic. Omar Rabbi Shmuel, Minayan Shim Omru Lo La'adam. From where do we know that if a person was told, Avoid Avodis Kechavim Va'al Te'areg, serve an idol and thereby stay alive, Minayan Shiyavoid Va'al Yehoreg, from where do we know that a person should in fact violate the mitzvah of Avodah Zorah and not get killed? Talmud Lomar V'chai Bohem V'lo Shiyamus Bohem. The Torah was given to preserve life, to live by it, not to die by it. Yochol Afilu B'Farhesya. Is this true, even in the case where he is threatened with death by by not doing Avodah Zorah in public. In other words, if one is threatened, either be killed or perform the Avodah Zorah in a public fashion, is it true that he's allowed to violate the Avodah Zorah, to violate the mitzvah of Avodah Zorah, and to serve the idol? Talmud Lomar, the Torah says, "V'lo sechalalu es shein kodshi v'nikdashti." Do not create a chilul Hashem. Lo sechalalu, Rashi explains, is befarhesya, that in public there is an issue of chilul Hashem. And the idea of v'nikdashti indicates that my name will be sanctified by by the person giving up his life. What do we see from this? We see that, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that when it comes to idolatry, a person does not always have to give up his life. The first opinion said when it comes to idolatry, a person always has to give up his life. So the Gemara says, Inhu di Omor k'Rabbi Elazar. Those that were in the Aliyah's base Natsa, that made no distinction between Betzino and Parhesya, in private and in public, they are based on the following approach. Rabbi Elazar Omer, V'yohavto es Hashem Elokecho v'chol levavecho v'chol nafshecho v'chol ma'odecho. The Torah says that one must show his love of God through all his heart, all his soul, and all his means. Im ne'emar b'chol nafshecho l'ma ne'emar b'chol ma'odecho. If the Torah says that one must love Hashem through all his soul, then why does it have to say through all his means? V'im ne'emar b'chol ma'odecho l'ma ne'emar b'chol nafshecho. And if the Torah would have said b'chol ma'odecho, why is it necessary to say b'chol nafshecho? The answer is, im yesh l'cho adam shegufo chaviv olav mimamono. If you have a person whose body, whose life is more valuable to him than his possessions, so we have a person that values his guf more than his possessions. Nevertheless, we say when it comes to the love of God, l'kach ne'emar b'chol nafshecho, show your love for God even with that which is most valuable to you, your nefesh, your soul, your life. V'im yesh l'cho adam shemamonu chaviv olav migufo, if you have a person whose possessions are more important to him than his own life, even so, l'kach ne'emar b'chol ma'odecho, show your love of God through that which is most valuable to you. Namely, this kind of person, his means is more important than his body. Nevertheless, the love of Hashem shall supersede that. What do we see from this? We see that the love of Hashem, that one's expression of devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, supersedes one's own life without any distinction made between private and public. And it's based on that that they came to their conclusion in the Aliyah's Beis Natsa. So, and when we look at the issue of Yehoreg ve'al Yavor with regard to Avodah Zarah, we can say that the issue of being over on Avodah Zarah at the threat of one's life in private is the subject of a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yishmael. Gilei Aroyos Shvichus Domim, the issue of sacrificing one's life in order not to violate adulterous relations or murder, Kidder Rebbe, based on the following teaching of Rebbe Desanya, Rebbe Oimer. The Rebbe quotes a pasuk that we featured in a previous shiur, dealing with a Nar Hamurasa that is being pursued for rape. And in that pasuk it says, Ki kasher yokum ish areyehu ritzacho nefesh kein hadover hazeh, that just like in the case of murder, so too is in this matter being the reference to the case of the Na'aro HaMurasa. V'chima lo madnu meirotzeach. What are we to learn from the case of murder to the case of Na'aro HaMurasa? Me'ato harei ze bol lamed v'nimso lamed. From here we see that the Torah brought in the case of murder in the context of the Na'aro HaMurasa, not only to teach, but also to learn about murder. In fact, we will see it's a two-way street. Makish roitzeach l'na'aro HaMurasa, and the next line, you'll see also a squiggle underline expression, umakish na'aro HaMurasa l'roitzeach. We compare one to the other. Let us see how this operates. Makish roitzeach l'na'aro HaMurasa, we compare the case of murder to the case of the na'aro HaMurasa. Ma na'aro HaMurasa nitan latzila b'nafsho, just like the case of na'aro HaMurasa, where we know the one who is pursuing her to rape her can be stopped by killing him. And that is based on a pasuk that was featured on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph in the middle. The pasuk said, V'ein Moshiach lo, where she is free from any punishment because she was the victim of a rape and there was no one to save her. And from that we derive that if there was someone to save her, she is able to be saved under all, through any means, even killing the pursuer. So we see that the case of Naamu Rasa, the pursuer can be stopped by killing him. Af Rotseach, we continue in our Gemara, Af Rotseach Nitan Hatzilo Benafsho, so too in the case of a murderer, he can be stopped by being killed. Umakish Naara Hamurasa Rotseach. And at this point in the Gemara, we become more interested because this is the point that is part of our immediate discussion, the issue of Yehoreg Ve'al Yavor. So the source says that we compare the case of Naam Rasa to the case of Rotseach. Ma Rotseach, just like in the case of murder, we say Yehoreg Ve'al Yavor. If a person is threatened by being told either kill so-and-so or be killed oneself, the person being threatened must sacrifice his own life and not kill someone else. That's called Yehoreg V'al Yavor. Af Naamu Rasa Tehoreg V'al Ta'avor. There are other girsos that say, also in the case of Naamu Rasa, Yehoreg V'al Yavor. Tosfos has a girso like that with the Yud. But for our purposes, it's a reference to this case of Naamu Rasa, which represents cases of adulterous relations, where one must sacrifice his life and not engage in the forbidden immorality. So at this point, we see a source for Naam Rasa, Yehoreg Ve'al Yavor. And that's why it's featured here in the Botai. And the source for Naam Rasa is learned from Rotseach. But we didn't really see how one knows that Rotseach is also Yehoreg Ve'al Yavor. Hence the Gemara asks, Rotseach Gufei Menolon. From where do we know that the case of murder is also under the category of Yehoreg, one must allow himself to be killed and not kill someone else. Savorahu. This is not based on psukim, it's based on logic. As is illustrated in the following story, Dahud also the Kamei de Rava. A person once came to Rava with a question, V'yamale, and said to Rava, he told the story, Omar li mori de Roi, the head of the community, some kind of heathen, said to me, Zil katle leplanye, I want you to go kill so-and-so, v'ilo, and if you don't kill so-and-so, katlina loch, then you will be killed. Omale, so Rava answered, and we've put this word in a bow tie, because this is the point at which the Gemara proves, Yehoreg v'al yavor, liktaluch means Yehoreg, let yourself be killed, velo tiktol, and don't kill someone else, and al tavor, don't go ahead and kill someone else, don't violate the prohibition of murder. And why is that? Mi yemar de domo didoch sumak tfei. Who says that your blood is redder than the other guy's? Dilmo domo dahu gavra sumak tfei. Maybe the blood of the other guy is redder than yours. The Rashi explains, Svorahu. Rashi, you'll see a few lines up from here. Svorahu, it's a matter of logic. Shelo tidche nefesh chavero, that one shall not cast aside his friend's life. Skipping the brackets for a moment, mipnei nafsho. Let's read that again. Shelo tidche nefesh chavero mipnei nafsho, that one shall not cast away his friend's life in order to save his own. Let's go over this again, reading the bracketed section in the Rashi. Svorahu, shelo tidche nefesh chaviro. One shall not cast away someone else's life, the ikotarti, because by murdering someone else in order to save one's own life, there are actually two problems. What are the two problems? Ibud neshama, the elimination of the other guy's life, ve'avera, and also the commission of an offense in an active form. Ibud neshama, the loss of life, and avera, retzicha biyadayim, the commission of the offense in an active way. And all of this is in order, mipnei nafsho, in order to save one's own life, deleka elochado. The goal of saving one's own life it only results in one accomplishment, namely, ibud neshama, v'hu lo ya'avor, in order to save one's own life, which would mean the preservation of life, without any violation. So, looking at this, we see that in the case of if someone were to murder someone else, there are two problems. There's the loss of life and the commission of an avera. In saving one's own life, there's only one thing that's accomplished, namely the preservation of life. When the Torah said that one is allowed to violate mitzvahs for the sake of, based on the pasuk that says, and thou shalt live by the Torah, the basis of that is mishum diyakara be'enov neshama shel Yisrael, because in the eyes of God, the Jewish life is very valuable. V'hocha gabi rotzeach, in the case that we're presented with here involving the murder, kevon desov sof ika ibud neshama, since in the final analysis, a life is going to be lost, either the life of the one being threatened or the life of the potential victim. Since that's a given, there is going to be ibud neshama. Lama yehei mutar la'avor. Why should there be an allowance for a mitzvah to be violated? Mi yodea shenafsho chaviva liyotzro yoser minefesh chavero. Who is to say that the soul of this person is dearer than the soul of the victim? Hilkoch devar hamokoim lo nitan litchos. Therefore, the word of God, namely the mitzvah or the prohibition of murder, is not able to be violated. Turning back to the Gemara, ki also ravdimi om Rabbi Yochanan. Notice we have a new geometric form, and we feature this on the outside margin, the nosei mivneh. We have a house form, the sirus nefesh, afilu al dvorim she'enom shalosh mitzvos hachamuros. We're going to be talking about one's sacrificing one's own life, even if it does not concern these specific three major offenses. Once again, Rabbi Yochanan's name is featured as we started before. Ki also Rav Dimi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, loy shanu, the teaching of the avor v'al yehoreg, that one is allowed to violate a particular mitzvah and not himself be killed. In other words, one is allowed to preserve his life, even if it involves the violation. This is taught limited. Elo shaloi b'shas gzeros amachus. This is provided we're dealing with times that there is no government edict involving violation of Torah principles. Avol b'shas gzeros amachus. If the government, if the king has taken upon himself the attempt to desecrate the Torah, namely, he issues a ruling that Jews shall not keep the Torah, and under such circumstances, which we call gezeiros hamachos, afilu mitzvah kala yehoreg v'al yavor, even if it's a minor type of mitzvah, minor offense, one must not violate the mitzvah, and rather sacrifice his life and not be over the mitzvah. Rashi points out, v'afilu mitzvah kala yehoreg v'al yavor shelo yargilu ho'iv dekechovim lahamriches halavavos l'kach, so as not to give a basis for the heathens to weaken the spirit of the Jews and eventually lead them to cast off the Torah. Ki also Ravin, the Gemara continues, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, afilu shelo b'shas gzeiros hamachus, even if it's not under circumstances where there's a government ruling to violate the Torah, nevertheless, lo omru elo betzina, the idea of avor v'al yehoreg, save one's life, and even if it's at the expense of violating a mitzvah, that's provided that the circumstances are of a private nature. Aval b'farhesya, if someone is being threatened in a public fashion, either violate a particular mitzvah or be killed, afilu mitzvah kala yehoreg v'al yavor, even a minor type of mitzvah, one must sacrifice his life and not violate it. My mitzvah kala, what is meant by a light precept? Omar Rava bar Rav Yitzchak, Omar Rav, afilu lishinuye araksa de mesana, even if it's not a specific Torah precept, but rather it's a something that's of a Jewish minhag or practice. The example cited in the Gemara is a shoe strap. Araxo de Masana, a shoe strap, whereby there might have been a style that was characteristic of the Jews that set them apart from the surrounding heathens, surrounding non-Jewish population, and a Jew is threatened by saying either change your shoe lace or shoe strap to look like us, or be killed. This Gemara is saying that one must say, sorry, I'm not changing my my shoe straps, which is my Jewish shoe straps, for what you people are wearing, and I'm willing to sacrifice my life. The Kama Farhesia, what constitutes in public? Amar of Yankov, Amar of Yochanan, Ein Parhesia Pchusa Me'asora B'nei Odom. The concept of public is not less than 10 people. So that if you have a situation where some heathens are threatening a Jew in the presence of 10 other Jews, either to change his shoe strap or be killed, this victim must allow himself to be killed and not change the Jewish practice, being that he's being threatened in the presence of 10 others. So the Gemara points out, Pshita Yisraelim Bo'inon, that when we speak about 10 people, we're talking about 10 Jews. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, V'nekadashti besoch b'nei Yisrael, and my name will be sanctified. And sanctification of God's name is, as we mentioned in the Gemara on Amud Aleph, that's when one is willing to sacrifice one's own life, his dearest possession, in order to preserve the dignity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is accomplished when it's besoch, where? When in the midst of b'nei Yisrael. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Tisha Yisrael v'nochri echad mahu. What would the halacha be if there are 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew? Is there also this halacha of v'nikdashti, of one sacrificing his life? The Gemara answers with a long answer. Notice the tuf that's encircled with a dashed vertical line. Before we go further, we might have taken note a little bit earlier of the topic heading, the nosei, that we've included in the margin, Goy Hamachriach Yehudi, a Gentile who is forcing a Jew la'avor, afilu al mitzvah kala, even on a minor type of offense or minor practice, Yesh Limsor Es HaNefesh. There is a need to sacrifice one's own life, im Befarhesia, if we're talking about a situation that's taking place in public. The question was raised by Rav Yirmiyah, what about 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew? Ta shma de toni Rav Yanai achvo de Rav Yichiyo bar Abo. The Rav Yanai taught a teaching, Asya toich toich. There is a word comparison that can be made. The word toch, Ksiv Hocha, it says here, V'nikdashti besoch b'nei Yisrael, uksiv hosam hi bodlu mitoch ho'edo hazos. The pasuk that we're citing, that is the basis of sanctification, uses the word besoch b'nei Yisrael, and there is another pasuk that says that it says hi bodlu mitoch ha'edo hazos. So ma lahalon asor v'kulu Yisrael. Just like that second pasuk, the pasuk from Bamidbar Tezayin, is talking about a group of they were entirely Jewish. Af kan, so too in our pasuk of v'nikdashti, it's asor v'kulu Yisrael, and all of them are Jews. Hence, Rav Yirmiyah's question of 9 Jews and 1 Gentile, if those were the circumstances, there would be no expectation of one giving up his life. The Gemara asks, V'ha Esther parhesya havoi? Is it not so that the case of Esther in the Purim story, that her relationship with Ahasuerus was of a public nature, was with public knowledge, and we don't see her giving up her life? Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, also nosei, hemshech, a continuation. We will see the use of another geometric form, a diamond with a colored in tip. Shnei deois lahazbir loma Esther shahoisa parhesia. Two opinions to explain why is it that Esther, who was also a public issue, lo mosra es nafsha, why is it that we don't see her giving up her life? One approach will be karka oilam, that she was passive. It wasn't an issue of her doing something in an active form, and hence there was no expectation of her giving up her life. The other opinion is lahanoas Atzmon, where the Gentile is forcing the Jew to do whatever he wants, but it's not for the purpose of causing him to violate the Torah, but rather he has his own personal pleasure that he wants fulfilled, as was the case with Achashverosh. He wasn't forcing her into immorality because he wanted to see her violate the Torah. He simply wanted to satisfy his own lust. Under such circumstances, there is no expectation of Mesiras Nefesh, of one giving up his own life. So we now read this in the Gemara. Omar Abaye, Esther, Karka Oilam Hoysa. She was viewed as literally the ground of the earth, meaning something passive. And as a result of that, she wasn't expected to do something in an active form. Hence, there was no expectation of her giving up her life. We, according to Abaye, the only time we say that one is expected to give up his life is when he's expected to do something in an active form, an active violation of a Torah teaching. However, if one is in a passive capacity, then the expectation of sacrificing one's life does not apply. Rova Omar Hanoas Atzmon Shaini. Even though it may be of a public nature, when the goy is trying to cause the Jew to act against the Torah, but his intention is not to counter the Torah per se, but rather to fulfill his own personal lust, that is different. De'i lo temahachi, if you don't say thusly, hani kavaki veduminiki, hechi yavinan lehu, how is it that we give these vessels, kvaki dumuniki, are different types of vessels. They're copper vessels that were used to store coals in, coals, fire coals, that the goyim, the Gentiles that are featured in this particular piece of Gemara, were fire worshippers. And they, when their holiday came around, they would collect these vessels. There, the different priests would go around to the community and collect these vessels for the purpose of their fire worship. How is it that we could sort of assist them in their service of idolatry? Ella, the Gemara goes on, Hanoas Atzmon Shaini. Their collection of these vessels was to fulfill their own satisfaction. Their intent was not to cause the Jews who were giving it to be in violation of the Torah and show how here the Jews are also assisting in idol worship. That was not their intention. Their intention was for their own satisfaction. Hochanami, so too in the case of Esther and Achashverosh, Hanoas Atzmon Shaini. The fulfillment of his own lust is different, and as a result of that, being that it's not a case of the goy interested in seeing the Jew violate the Torah, there is no need to sacrifice one's life. The Ozda Rava Letame. Rava here is consistent with what he says elsewhere. The Omar Rava. Akum de Omar Le Laha Yisrael. An idol worshipper that threatens a Jew and says as follows, Ketul aspasto b'shabato v'shodi l'chiyusa. Cut this type of vegetation, aspasto, an animal, type of animal feed, cut it while it's growing on Shabbos and give it to my animals. V'i loi katil naloch, and if not, so the idol worshipper threatens he will kill the Jew. The ruling is liktil, cut the vegetation, velo liktile, and don't be killed himself. Before we go further in the Gemara, we should take note of this double underline by glancing at the side, the mivneh heading. We have this double underline, shnei dugmois, two examples, shebohem goy machriach Yehudi l'chal Shabbos, where an idol worshipper is forcing a Jew to violate Shabbos. So the first example we learned already. If the goy threatens the Jew, and by saying, cut the vegetation and feed my animals with it, otherwise you will be killed. So Rava says he is expected to violate the Shabbos and thereby preserve his life. However, Shodi Linaro, if the goy says, I want you to cut the aspasta and throw it into the river, what's the point of the goy in that threat? He simply wants to denigrate the Torah, wants to show how he can force a Jew to violate the Torah without any personal gain involved. Under such circumstances, Rava says, liktale, one must allow himself to be killed, velo liktal, and not cut the aspasto. my time all. Why is that? The answer is, la'avurei milsa kaboy. Under such circumstances, the goy is interested simply watching the Jew violate the Torah. And under such circumstances, the Jew must give up his life. This is what we meant before, that Rava is consistent with his ruling that when it comes to Hanos Atzmon, where the goy is asking the Jew to violate the mitzvah for his own personal gain, for example, either financial gain or satisfaction of physical lust, then one does not have to give up one's life. But if the goal of the goy is to simply jeer the Torah and watch the Jew violate a Torah precept without any personal gain, under such circumstances one must give up his life. The next topic is featured by our nosei, our topic heading, Haim Goy Mitzuva Al Kedushas Hashem. Is a non-Jew commanded also with regard to his mitzvos of sanctifying God's name and not violate his mitzvos? Bo minei Rav Ami. The question was asked of Rav Ami. Ben Noyach. Mitzuva Al Kedushas Hashem Oy Ein Mitzuva Al Kedushas Hashem. Omar Abaye, Toshma. So Abaye attempts to answer. Sheva mitzvos nitzdavu b'nei Noach. We know that the Noahide were commanded to keep seven mitzvos. Ve'im Esau, if it were so that he has an additional mitzvah of Kedushas Hashem, Tamni Havyon, then there would be eight mitzvos, and we don't see that. We see only seven, as was discussed earlier in this Masechet. Omar Le Rava. Rava responds to Abaye and says, this the Mishnah that you cited, namely Sheva mitzvos, does not preclude Kedushas Hashem, because it could be that when it says there are seven mitzvahs that the Noahide were commanded in, it means the seven mitzvahs and all the accompanying factors. Amalei Rava, Inhu, the seven, the Chol Abizrayu, and all of their accompanying factors. Therefore, it could very well be that each mitzvah that a Gentile is commanded in, the seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach, there is built into them the need to give up one's life when being threatened, being threatened to violate or be killed. My Havi Allah, the Gemara wants to know, so what's the final ruling with regard to Ben Noach and Kedushas Hashem? The Gemara answers with a long answer. This long answer, as you can see, continues till the next Omid. Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo, Amri Bei Rav. Ksiv, there is a posuk that features Naaman, who was a general, he was a Gentile general in the army of Bnei Noach, of Goyim. And the king of that time was going to go to his place of idolatry, and Naaman was going to accompany him to that particular place. Now, it should be noted that Naaman was a person who accepted upon himself the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, including the prohibition of engaging in idol worship. However, his king wanted Naaman, wanted him to accompany the king to the base of Avodah Zorah. And the Naaman says to the Novi the following. He says to the prophet the following, L'davar hazeh yislach Hashem la'avdecha, for the following matter God should forgive me, bevo Adoni Beis Rimon, when my master, the king, comes to Beis Rimon, l'shtachavos shama, to bow down to his idol over there, v'hu nish'an al yodi v'shtachavesi, and he will be relying on me, leaning on me, and I will have to bow to the idol at the same time. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, "Vayomer lo, Elisha the prophet said to him, Lech l'shalom, go in peace." Ve'im Esau, if it were so that the Ben Noach was muzar on Kedushas Hashem, lo lema le, then he shouldn't have said, "Go in peace." He could have remained silent. Let's see the Rashi at the top. Ve'im Esau the Ben Noach muzar al Kedushas Hashem, if it were so that the Ben Noach is commanded to give up one's life and not violate one of his mitzvahs, lo neimole lech l'shalom demashma dehoidalo, he shouldn't have given him the blessing and say, go in peace, which is mashma that he agreed with him. Nehi de la hochicha lo hoya mitzuve. Granted that maybe the prophet was not commanded to chastise him, because the issue of chastising is limited to the Jewish people. Lo hoya mitzuva. Why? The hocheach tochich es amisechok siv, velo ger toshav. The understanding of the pasuk of giving tochach, of giving chastisement, is only in the context of one of the amisecha, the Jewish people themselves, and not the ger toshav. Mihu. However, odoye le devar iser lo lo doye. But to actually give him a bracha, he wouldn't have done that. So it must show the fact that Elisha gave him a bracha, said lech l'shalom. It must be that the goyim are not mitzuva on kedushas Hashem. The Gemara rejects this and says ha b'tzina ha b'farhesya. The incident involving Naaman was in private. There were no Jews in Beis Rimon, the place that he was going to bow to the idol. However, had it been a public matter, it might not have been the same. And under such circumstances, maybe he would have been expected to give up his life. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.